People talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me, running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Guy who claims he just don't believe in faith. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count and be free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me, running down the way of life, running down my country, man, you walking on the fight beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program. You're on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people, and of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, lots more news and views for our people, and it seems to me it's just a very interesting little news story. and this has to do with a California mayor who has had to resign. What they have to do? What he have to do? Well, he accused President Donald Trump of being a Nazi, associated with the Ku Klux Klan. This is typical of the crazy overkill indulged in by some of our politicians. It doesn't even have any relationship to real life. Now, I have no problem with anybody having an opinion and don't like Donald Trump. That's fair enough. Say you don't like him, that's fair enough too. But when a mayor, I hesitate to say in a responsible position, but yeah, relatively responsible position, calls the President of the United States a Nazi. And of course, that is an insult. That's actually what he probably is trying to get at is a National Socialist. And ties him with the Ku Klux Klan. Not that there's anything wrong, frankly, with that. But, fair is fair, and truth is truth, and this just is not it. I'm glad that, he apparently realized that he was so completely over the top that he'd lost all credibility. I guess that's a good thing. I'm going to play a short piece here by Ezra Levant of Rebel, The Rebel, Rebel Media, and his outfit is calling, is circulating a petition, and the last I saw, they had well over 15,000 signatures calling for the firing of Theresa Tam. Now, Dr. Theresa Tam is Canada's chief medical officer of health. She's been the one whispering sweet nothings into the trust fund kid's ear. That's our prime minister, or basically the one quarterbacking Canada's response to the coronavirus crisis or pandemic. She is closely tied with the World Health Organization, as you will hear. You say, well, so what? Sounds like a good credential? Well, yeah, not really. The World Health Organization, since the installation of its present director, who's a former Ethiopian politician, is virtually a mouthpiece for Red Chinese propaganda. Now, the former Ethiopian politician, who's now the head of the World Health Organization, when he was the head of the when he was health minister in Ethiopia, three times covered up major epidemics. Yeah, and although he's called doctor, he is not a medical doctor. So here you have a person in charge of medicine, or here in the head of the World Health Organization, and he's a he's not a practicing doctor. One of the previous outrages perpetrated by this fellow, and this fellow was put in place by the Red Chinese. They strongly backed his being put in place at the head of the World Health Organization. He had, on an earlier occasion, suggested that as a roving ambassador for the WHO, that ought to be, guess who it is, Robert Mugabe. That's right. He made this proposal 2 years ago, I believe. Robert Mugabe was the, at that point, very, very ancient. He died just recently, but former president. He'd been thrown out of Zimbabwe. He had been the president since 1980. He'd become a virtual dictator. He had utterly ruined the country's economy. He's a violent anti-white racist, or let's call him a violent anti-white hater. And this was the man who was proposed. In the end, it didn't come to pass, but proposed as an ambassador for WHO, a goodwill ambassador. So anyway, the World Health Organization, under this new director's his regime, has become a mouthpiece for Red China. So initially, they parroted the Red Chinese line that the coronavirus was could not be passed human to human. Now, it's a kind of important, quick thing. You know, if it somehow just comes out of the air, that's one thing. If it can be passed from human to human, then you have to treat it as contagious. Then you have to worry about how people with it are getting into your country. Well, the next thing, that part of the party line put out by China and the WHO, but not practiced by China, interestingly enough, is that travel bans are no good. So dutifully, in January and February, Theresa Tam was saying, travel bans are no good. In fact, worse than that, they're racist. That's right, because you'd be targeting, we'd be targeting people coming from areas that have the Wuhan flu. Where would that be? Iceland. No. China! That's right. So that was racist. In fact, she was regularly wagging her bony finger at us, telling Canadians not to discriminate against Chinese, and otherwise we'd be racist. Right? We're a pretty stupid country. Why would we have as our chief medical officer of health a Chinese woman? I still ask that. I mean, not to be unkind, but are there no Canadian-born people of European descent that represent the still 78% of our population who can hold the job? Why do we have an imported foreigner? Don't know. In fact, I discussed this a couple programs ago. Her very meager public record. Usually somebody who would be given a position like this would be been a prominent doctor for many years with a very impressive list of publications and prestigious posts that she had held. It was very little. In fact, can't even find out the title of her doctoral thesis. Now, I'm not saying she is not an MD, she's not qualified. It's just that there's so much about this woman who's a mystery. That doesn't exactly make you feel confident that you've got a mystery woman captaining the ship. Also, the WHO was saying that face masks didn't do much good. So don't have face masks in. And she was parroting the same Communist Party line by saying that the face mask would stigmatize people. I'm not exactly sure how it would stigmatize people. Many people from China, many Orientals, they've been buying up face masks since January here. They're very, very hard to get. How exactly wearing a face mask would stigmatize people, unless perhaps it meant that you felt you had the coronavirus. And so what, you're stigmatizing yourself? Don't know. Anyway, it's only very, very recently, within the last 2 weeks, the government changed its mind about travel restrictions, because the Americans basically said we're shutting the border down. So finally, there are travel restrictions. Secondly, we're now told, well, yeah, masks are okay, but they're not 100%. Nobody ever suggested they were. And a mask is basically, surgical mask is basically to protect others from you. Maybe protect you from others a little bit, but mostly protect others from you. Anyway, that's a kind of a long introduction to the broadcast we're about to hear called Fire Theresa Tam. And this is a petition being taken up by Ezra Levant on The Rebel. You can go online and find it. And in fact, #FireTam, FireTam.com, that's FireTam, F-I-R-E, new word, T-A-M, Tam.com. And this is the reason why. And this is Ezra Levant with The Rebel.
Dr. Theresa Tam, Canada's chief public health officer, must resign or be fired. She's in a terrible conflict of interest because she works right now for the China-controlled World Health Organization. I have a petition at www.firetam.com that I'd like you to go to right now and sign and share with your friends. It's at firetam.com. In the meantime, let me explain why. As you may have heard, the World Health Organization covered up the Wuhan virus for the Chinese government. So they endangered millions of lives around the world by lying on behalf of China's dictatorship. Look at this example, published by the World Health Organization on January 14th, where they cite Chinese propaganda that the virus does not spread from person to person, but it does. It's very contagious. That false disinformation put the rest of the world at ease and allowed the virus to spread globally. That WHO lie made us let down our guard and continue accepting flights from Wuhan, China. It really shouldn't be called the World Health Organization because it doesn't serve the world. It serves communist China, who installed the WHO Secretary General, Tedros Adhanom, who calls himself a doctor, but he doesn't actually have a medical degree. He's the first head of the WHO who isn't really a medical doctor. When he was a political boss back in Ethiopia, his claim to fame was actually covering up cholera epidemics in his own country. That's who runs the WHO. No wonder Donald Trump announced that he's cutting off funding to the WHO.
Today I'm instructing my administration to halt funding of the World Health Organization while a review is conducted to assess the World Health Organization's role in severely mismanaging and covering up the spread of the coronavirus. Everybody knows what's going on there.
Okay, so what about Canada? Our chief public health officer is named Theresa Tam, and she continuously cites the WHO as her source of authority.
Canada is part of an international effort, and at the WHO. But what I do know, given my communication with the World Health Organization, I think one of the members asked about travel ban, like stopping people from actually traveling. And the reason why the World Health Organization doesn't recommend something like this is that, in general, it may do more harm than good.
She really just says whatever the WHO tells her to say, which is why she's giving such awful advice to Canadians, like telling us not to use masks.
So our advice right now is there is no need to use a mask for well people.
She said masks don't work, which isn't true. She said closing the border to travelers from virus hotspots in China doesn't work. That's not true either.
It may be sort of anti-intuitive for people to understand this, but the more countries that are impacted means that your border measures can be much less effective and definitely not feasible.
And just like the WHO and Communist China, she spent January denouncing anyone worried about the virus as racist and told people to shut up. It's to our national shame that Canada has been deeply involved in the WHO's pro-China biases. Here's another Canadian doctor, Bruce Aylward, who is the WHO point man on the virus. He was asked a basic question about the virus and how Taiwan is handling it, but Taiwan is a country that China despises. So instead of answering the question like a doctor, he just hung up on the reporter. This is politics, not medicine.
Would the WHO consider Taiwan's membership? Hello?
I couldn't hear your question.
Okay, yeah, let me repeat the question.
No, that's okay. Let's move to another one then.
Yeah, that's a Canadian public health doctor acting as a Chinese political enforcer. That's just wrong. That's actually corrupting our doctors and medicines. Should Canada quit the WHO too? I think so, but here's the problem. The person who would help make that decision is Theresa Tam herself, except that she doesn't just take orders from the WHO, she literally works for it right now. And not just as some low-ranking bureaucrat. She's on an important WHO committee in charge of health emergencies around the world. She's actually on the oversight committee. You can see she's one of seven people on that committee. Her name is right there on the bottom right. So she's actually a boss at the WHO. It's her job to be a sort of auditor, making sure the WHO does real medicine, not politics. So the WHO's political corruption happened when it was literally her job to stop it. It was on her watch. She didn't stop it. She either approved of it or was blind to it. She was one of seven people in the whole world whose job was to make sure that the Chinese Communist Party and its politics didn't derail this emergency. She didn't do her job. And she stands by the corrupt WHO to this day. Who does she even work for? Canada? or China's WHO, because you have to choose sides now. She is in a conflict of interest. She cannot give Canadians good medical advice because she works for China's WHO. And she can't give Trudeau good political advice about the WHO because it was she herself who approved their scandalous conduct. It's impossible for her to be a neutral, objective judge about the WHO's misconduct because she rubber-stamped that misconduct personally on that committee. She should have resigned the WHO, but she won't. Just like Bruce Aylward won't. Because they work for China. Because they aid and abet China's propaganda. We have to fire Tam. If you agree with me, go to firetam.com and forward this video to your friends so they can learn the truth about Theresa Tam and her intolerable conflict of interest. Canada's public health officer has to work for Canada, not a foreign dictatorship. Visit firetam.com to sign our petition. Thanks. Theresa Tam works for the corrupt World Health Organization. She needs to resign or be fired. Go to firetam.com and share this video.
And I would certainly endorse that. Go to firetam.com if you're Canadian and sign the petition. Oh yeah, here's a figure that came to me over the internet that 656 people who resided in Wuhan came to Canada in January and February. We became aware of the coronavirus in January. It was clear that something very bad was happening, and our government simply failed to stop people coming from Wuhan, with the result, of course, that it entered Canadian territory. The man by the name of Dominic LeBlanc, he's the president of the Privy Council, and is a member of the cabinet. He's a close buddy of Justin Trudeau. He went to university with Trudeau, and he's known each other since childhood because his father Romeo LeBlanc was the premier of New Brunswick, and also I believe a Canadian, and he was a Canadian senator. So the Trudeau and LeBlanc families have known each other for a long time, and that's neither here nor there. The point is, he is close to Trudeau. Anyway, he came up with the bright idea this past week that there ought to be legislation that would criminalize people willfully spreading misinformation on the internet. Now, it wasn't clear whether this would be just about the Wuhan flu or in general. That could hurt the public. Well, I mentioned this last night. In fact, I did a video today with my good friend Brian Rue, partly on this very issue, this is an utter attack on free speech. And worded as such, criminalize all sorts of things. Oh, let's just leave it to a coronavirus, but fine. So, willfully putting material up on the internet improper. Misinformation. Well, what's misinformation? Well, misinformation would be information that I guess the government says is wrong. Well, is the government the final arbiter of truth? Well, already on this coronavirus issue, they have had to change their tune, most reluctantly, but they have. Originally, they parroted Red China. That was not really spread from person to person. Well, they had to backtrack on that. Then travel bans would do no good. well, they, despite the fact that violated common sense, it did do good. And finally, that wearing masks was not necessary, and it didn't do any good either. Well, they've had to retreat on all those. Now, you might say, well, okay, supposing you said, as certainly I said and many others did, from the get-go in January, once we knew where the hotbed of the Wuhan flu was, and it was, that's right, it's in Wuhan, China, we should ban travel, at least ban travel from Wuhan, if not all of China. Well, we were told at that top point that that was racist. Yeah, you're a racist if you say that. And you're wrong, because the World Health Organization says that travel bans do no good. Our Chief Medical Officer of Health, Theresa Tam, said that in as many words. So they do no good. So if you were to take the opposite view, and the common sense view, which as President Trump did, that a travel ban or restrictions will do some good. All right, so they call that misinformation. Now, could it harm the public? Well, the way I would argue it might harm the public, the way I think they would argue is that you are stigmatizing Chinese people, and you might be encouraging racism or discrimination, and that would harm the public. See what I mean? Would it have to be more tangible harm? Who knows? Now this, this, to be fair, is not yet written as proposed legislation. It's an idea, but it's an idea that has to be forcefully opposed. And here is a columnist from the National Post, Rex Murphy. Tap this serpent of an idea on its head. I kind of like that metaphor. If there's one positive thing about that can be said about this terrible plague we're enduring, it is that now and then it gives the Trudeau government some really, really great ideas. Now, this is tongue-in-cheek by Rex Murphy. Sure, it was only a couple of weeks ago that the Liberals came up with the idea that they, a minority in Parliament, remember, should give themselves the power to tax and spend for the next 2 years without having to get parliamentary approval. It was a truly brilliant idea, except that it ignored the fact that approving government spending is one of the most important functions of Parliament. Take away its authority over spending, and the House of Commons might just as well be any old bingo hall or with a little imagination. Imagine a renovation, a one-of-a-kind Costco store. Murphy has a really good sense of humor. Now, compliments of Privy Council President Dominic LeBlanc, we learned that the Liberal government is contemplating legislation to make it an offense to, as the CBC report had it, quote, knowingly spread misinformation that could harm people. Knowingly spread misinformation that could harm people. It wouldn't be hard to argue that almost anything could somehow harm people, but what's harm? Anyway, and my Rex Murphy continues. In plain language, this government is openly thinking of making itself the official censor of what can or cannot be said about COVID-19. Pure brilliance again, don't you agree? Well, actually, no. Don't even think of it. Better still, to borrow a phrase from Greta Thunberg, how dare you? I think Rex stole that from me, because I've used that line, which almost credit Grim Greta. You often deliver it in her accusatory, trembling voice. How dare you? anyway, there's already a government that has that power, and in some cases brutally exercises it. That is the government of the Communist Party of China. And what has it done with that power? It barred telling the truth about COVID-19 and instead told lies about it, on the where it happened and when it happened and how it happened and how it spread. The Chinese government confounded, confused, and lied about a plague that has now hobbled the whole planet. And China, quote, officially reprimanded the doctor who initially tried to warn people about the coronavirus and who, with dread irony, actually died from it in early February. A post-mortem apology followed from the government. That surely helped. from being a spreader of false news and a villain who was tossed into prison for a week, the doctor, post-mortem, became something of a hero. The Communist Party line can turn on a dime. So, let's tap this serpent on its little head before its fangs emerge and develops a real appetite. The problem with government having control over what is said and written, and completely aside from it being the utter contradiction of a liberal democracy, is that governments, especially on a matter such as this pandemic, are simply not competent enough to know what is right and what is wrong. In fact, our government has bumbled from utterly wrong-headed policies based on their perverse anti-racist ideology and under the influence of Communist China to their current stand, which has many flaws, but is a trifle better than what it had been. Or maybe not. Was shutting down the Canadian economy, or shutting down large sections of the Canadian economy, was that called for? And was that right? I'll probably deal with that tomorrow and discuss the case of Sweden and Taiwan. But anyway, back to Rex Murphy. What is required for a government to pass a law against misinformation? To begin with, it presumes an infallible authority that is able to make judgments on what is or what is not correct information. Even worse, it presumes the government has the ability to make judgments on a matter that incontestably is not yet fully understood by anybody. In fact, numerous scientists have said, as has the American's chief expert on this, Dr. Anthony Fauci, that we are still learning about the coronavirus. In fact, its behavior, it's a new phenomenon. But at least most of the scientists say that it's new. It's not being exactly like other epidemics, and so we're still learning. So in other words, all the information is not yet in to have any firm conclusion. This virus is new, says Rex Murphy. The investigation of its nature, transmission, the best policies to confront it, the extent of the response to it, even the nature of the response, all of these elements are, at best, in an incomplete and early stage of understanding. Experts have varying degrees of skill and knowledge. If experts disagree, which happens often, will some of them be silenced? In actuality, a divergence of opinions can be seen as a path to the full truth emerging. But this cannot happen if the government gags those who may seem to be wrong. At the present moment, actually, my comments, not Rex Murphy's. The government is terrified of criticism or alternative views from citizen journalists. It's the internet that's driving these would-be censors wild, because it's the internet that is spreading questions. For instance, there are citizen journalists, particularly in the United States, but also in Canada, who visited hospitals that are supposedly practically going crazy, jammed with people with coronavirus, people suffering on gurneys in the hole, staff running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Except that on visiting the hospital, there's nothing happening. There's no panic. There isn't even a lot going on. Well, that's kind of significant, because some people are saying, and keep an open mind about this, that this is, for some reason, perhaps a government grab for more control over our lives, the lethality of coronavirus is being hyped. Certainly, there's evidence that some hospitals are attributing almost any death that involves anything respiratory to coronavirus, which may not be accurate. Another very good question that's been asked is, how many of the deaths already attributed to coronavirus are caused by coronavirus or involve coronavirus? And they're two different things. If you're perfectly healthy, or let's say reasonably healthy, and you come down with coronavirus and you die from it, well, okay, that's a death caused by coronavirus. However, if you're on kidney dialysis, you already have severe respiratory problems. I think one is called COPD. You have a heart condition, and then you contract coronavirus. Did it kill you, or did it? Is it simply an aggravating factor? And there is a difference. What makes that particular interest important is, it appears that in North America, and in Italy, it particularly has impacted very ill elderly people. It seems to have far less impact, in fact, relatively little, on anybody under 50. So, not to say that it isn't a problem, of course it is, should we have shut down the entire economy because of it? And this is where citizen journalists are doing some great work. Also, the various questions about this, and questions that, of course, I've asked. Let's grant that there is a flu out there called coronavirus, and let's grant that for some people it can be very serious. Well, are there people trying to take advantage of it in a sinister way? Well, yeah, the overreaction of government, the virtual martial law, the prevention in some cases of internal travel. Now, I'm all in favor of a travel ban from certain areas, but internal travel, and I've discussed this before, and we'll discuss it again on future programs. And here, the threat of censorship tells you that we need not less discussion, but we need more discussion. And I think that makes power-hungry people very uneasy. Well, they're going to get more uneasy tomorrow, or I should say later today. This afternoon at 2 o'clock in Kitsilano, and that's a community in Vancouver, which is along the beautiful beach there, there's going to be another citizen gathering under the banner or hashtag of Stop the Lockdown. You know, citizens coming out as they have it, as they did last Sunday in Vancouver, got a tremendous amount of publicity. And if you'd like to see that, get on our website, cafe.nfshost.com. cafe.nfshost.com, and that stands for Canadian Association for Free Expression. Get on our website, and you'll see two videos of what happened last week. Very encouraging, citizens speaking out. Stop the lockdown. There are a lot of good reasons for that. I'll deal with them on another program. Well, believe me, the powers that be, the would-be tyrants in some levels of government don't like this. This protest was denounced as far away as London, England. And similar protests are occurring in the United States. Well, just to conclude the comments by Rex Murphy. It was only a couple of weeks ago that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau barred the leader of the opposition from joining talks with other opposition leaders because, in Trudeau's own memorable words, Conservative leader Andrew Scheer, quote, disqualified himself from constructive discussions with his unacceptable speech earlier today. And that was back in the days of the government's total inaction in the face of the illegal blockade of railway lines and in some cases roads, by an unholy alliance of radical Indians, not all Indians, mind you, radical Indians and environmental crazies. And it was the blockades, especially of the main rail line going through Ontario, was causing huge economic damage. So the government was flailing around as to what to do. Well, what to do? You order the police in that blockade, and anybody who stands in your way, arrest them. Anyway, but they didn't want to do that. Trudeau, to try to forge something like a united front, or invited the other opposition leaders to have a little confab. But Andrew Scheer had spoken earlier in the day forcefully for ending the boycott, the blockade. Well, those remarks were not helpful. Finally, yet it's not for Trudeau or any other prime minister to determine what is acceptable speech from his constitutionally positioned critic, the leader of the opposition. Nor is it proper for this minority government, which has had enough struggles of its own over misinformation, like on masks, on screening at the airports, on our relative security from the pandemic, to decide what the rest of us can and cannot say or write about this unique crisis. I think very well argued by Rex Murphy of the National Post. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me, and I'm going to, and this is, I think, probably kind of fitting for a Saturday night, play a little bit of drinking music. This is some good German Umpapa music. This is Paul Fromm here on Alt-Right TV and WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
Yeah.
this is Paul Fromm. You're on the funny side of me, and I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on Alt-Right TV or WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
Days of yore from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together. The thistle, shamrock, rose, and wine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever.